We're in this series called Here Comes Heaven. And today I'm excited. This is the second installation of this series. And we're calling it Provision from Heaven. Touch your neighbor and say provision. Come on, provision. And a little subtitle here. I don't know if this is okay to do, but I'm going to do it anyways. A little subtitle here is called The Power of One More Try. Come on, tell your neighbor, they might be wanting to give up today. Tell them the power of one more try. Tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. I don't know what you've given up on or what you want to throw in the towel on, but I feel like the Lord today wants to speak a word into your spirit to give it one more try. There's so much power in when we give it another shot. There's so much power when we don't give up and throw it all in when it doesn't go our way, but when we trust God. And today, I want to lean on his word because as I was praying over this message and praying over today, I felt like the Lord was speaking over someone's story and someone's chapter. Like he's spoken over mine so many times before, is when things don't happen according to my plans. How many have some things happen that aren't according to what you planned in this first start of strategy? There's something that you went at it with a plan, and all of a sudden it went awry, and now you're standing in the middle of something that is not according to what you started on. I want to talk today about the power of one more try. Hey, maybe it was the wrong season, or maybe you had the wrong crowd around you, but I believe that God today is going to speak to your story. And I believe that on that one more try, when we give God the trust in our hearts to put action to our words and to step into what he's speaking over, I believe that that's grounds for a miracle to take place. We're in the series, Here Comes Heaven, and I believe that as we step into what God wants for us and what God desires for our life, we step into a whole new level of favor on our life. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about, you know, riches and wealth. I'm talking about a favor on your life, a favor on your speech, a favor on your relationships, a favor on how you love, a favor on how you have peace in the middle of a storm. I'm talking about that kind of favor, that when heaven's involved in your life, what's going on in heaven is reality for you. And though things may crumble around you, when heaven's involved in your life, you got something that's unshakable that's in your foundation. You got something unshakable that's in your faith. You got something that's unshakable that's in your peace and joy. Can't be stolen, can't be taken away. And I believe that when heaven gets involved in your life, when God starts speaking, you know, this is a year of torrent. At the beginning of the year, you know, we always name the year. And a lot of you know that we've named this year the year of torrential. I mean, it's just torrent is the word. And it's this excess flow of the presence of God and what God is speaking. Revelation talks about his voice being like the sound of many waters. In fact, Revelation gives us this picture of God on his throne. And out of his throne are these rivers, streams of life. And I believe that this year, as we step into that word, there's going to be a time that God is calling you to have trust in him to give it one more try. The things that may have failed in other seasons, this year, God's telling you to give it one more try. And past, I know, you slipped up and it didn't work. I get it. You knocked on the door and it didn't open. I understand that was a season of failure, but I'm telling you, today, God wants to speak over your story. He wants to speak over your life and say, come on, it's the power of one more try. Come on, bump your neighbor, tell him one more try. Give it one more try. Hey, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. Here we're going to jump into the story of Jesus as he's standing by the lake of Gethsemane. I'm sorry, Gennesaret. And it says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw the water's edge. There was two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who we know as Peter, one of the disciples. But this was before he changed his name and called him to follow him. And he got into the one belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats to so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I want to dive into this story because what you have to understand is prior to Jesus using this boat was a picture of the disciples, Peter and the guys, out on the water fishing all night long and catching nothing. And what you have to understand is if they don't catch anything, they don't make anything. Can you imagine going to work all day and then going home and not making a dime for it? That was the defeat that they felt. That which they were skilled in, that which they were working for, that which they were called. They were called fishermen. And yet they worked all night and caught nothing. And then Jesus rocks up on the scene. And I don't know if you ever feel like this, because when I was reading this, I felt the Spirit speaking that there's some seasons in my life, there's some seasons in your life where you failed. You failed what you're called to do. You failed in what you feel like should be your skill. It should be your strength. And there was a season of failure. And Jesus walks up on the scene. And in the middle of that morning, where I'm sure they were all bummed out, maybe a little weary, maybe a little tired from fishing all night and catching nothing, maybe a little disappointed, a little hurt and scarred, maybe a little agitated. And Jesus rocks up and he sees that the gospel needs to be spread and there's people gathering all around him. So he looks for a vessel to use. And wouldn't you know that Jesus, out of all things he could have used, he uses the same thing that was a failure the night before. And he wanted to bring glory to that boat. I feel like there's someone in the room today that what you once had as failure in one season, God wants to redeem in this season and use it to elevate the message of God through your vessel. I believe that God can use what once was a failure and now give purpose to it and let it be a faithful thing that comes alive in a season. I believe there's things in your life that God wants to redeem that in one season you counted out. In this season, God wants to call it something great. I love this picture because I'm sure Peter's like, "Well, all right, we'll get in. I mean, this thing's not good for fishing." And I love this because Jesus preaches the message from the vessel that once was a season of failure for Peter and now was being used for the gospel. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Touch your neighbor and tell him he doesn't stop there. See, sometimes we think that God's going to come in and then he's going to redeem something for another purpose and then kind of leave what we failed in or what hurts us alone. But I love what Jesus does, because not only does he use the thing that hurts the most in order to elevate the word. Somebody catch this. He then redeems the same vessel to do more than what Peter tried to do in the prior season. See, when Jesus was involved, he says, go out to the water. In other words, let's go try again. But this time, I'm involved. And I wonder how many of us in this season, God wants to get involved with your story. He wants to get involved more than he was last season. Because last season he was on the shore, but this time he wants to get in the boat with you. This time he wants to go out and be involved in your story. Be involved in what you're doing. And Jesus said, let's go to the deep. I love this. Because sometimes in order to step into your redemption story, you have to go into the deep where you've been with new people in the boat in order to restore what is possible when the Lord is involved in your story. I love this picture because how many know that on our own, we only have so much we can give to it. But when the Lord's involved, he multiplies that which we have. The Lord multiplies. And I think this goes way beyond even material or things we're striving for. Sometimes we have goals to strive for certain things or strive for certain positions. But I love Jesus because he is the leader. He not only tells Peter to go into the deep, but he goes with him. And I don't know what it is for you that in one season might have been a failure. In one season, you might have brought in your nets and feel like you caught nothing. And maybe even, I'll go on a limb here and say that you might even felt like that season was wasted. Maybe you feel like that time you spent was wasted, and that talent you spent was wasted, and that treasure you invested in it was wasted. And God, I believe today, wants to take that same vessel and tell you to give it one more try. But the difference is, it's not just that you got to keep going. It's not that you just got to keep on your grind, because I think that's our culture today. It's just like, just keep going. Just keep grinding. But I'll tell you, there's a difference when you just push through or when you're faithful with the faithful one on your team. I believe there's a huge difference that when you get God involved in your story, possibilities go out, the limitations go out the window. The barriers, they're no longer a part of your story. Because when God's involved, his power comes into your story. And I wonder how many of us, we've been trying on our own, but yet God in this season says, hey, I'm the God of torrential outpouring. I'm the God who's speaking a flow in this year. I'm a God who is calling this year a year of harvest, a year of outpouring, a year of more than enough. And I'm the God who wants to get in your boat. I want to encourage somebody to let Jesus drive your boat. Man, wherever you've been going on your own, to let God get involved. And when Jesus says, hey, let's go out to the deep. I wonder what Peter was thinking inside his head. I'm sure he was like, oh, Jesus, we have just fished all night long. In that same boat, in that same place you're calling us to do. Yet Jesus is the one who understands where you need to go and what you need to do in the right timing. Look at your neighbor, say, there's a timing. There's a timing that only the Lord knows for our lives. He is the great orchestrator, the great one who's designing our lives. And so when we put trust into him, we all of a sudden step into the perfect design for our lives. And yet, and what once was, in one season, what was a failure, because maybe it was the wrong timing, or maybe it was with the wrong crowd, or maybe it was in the wrong motives. It was just the wrong season. And this season, Jesus is saying, hey, I want to redeem that part of your story. I want to bring a redemption to that part of you that feels like you failed, because he's got a perfect timing for it. Provision isn't just in the stuff that we're going after. It's in the shepherd. How many know there's a great shepherd that wants to lead you? There's a great shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And he wants to lead us to the deep. He wants to lead us to where the harvest is. He wants to lead us to where the children of God have bountiful nourishment. I love Psalm 23, and I want to read it with you today. Psalm 23, verse number 1, it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd." Man, what if we stopped seeking him as a gift giver? We stopped seeking him for stuff, and we started seeking him as shepherd. We started seeking him as the guide. We started seeking him as the leader, as the king, saying, "Lord, wherever you call me, whatever you have for me, it's perfect." Man, I wonder what would happen to your story today if you just let Jesus in and let him drive and let him go and let him tell you where to go and let him direct you in what's next. I believe that when the Lord is our shepherd, the Bible says that we lack nothing. And that stuff that we're going after becomes a part of our story because we're with the great I am. We're with the one who's calling us and drawing us into the right places. When he is leading our every step, you treat your relationship with him as the one who is leading. And your goal becomes to find the shepherd, to find the one who's leading, find the one who's in control. And that same vessel that represents failure in one chapter can be used for bringing glory to God in another. Jesus also said this. He said, when he got to the deep, and I think this is so profound, he said, "Let down your nets." Now, this doesn't sound too profound to us, but I think the profound part of this part of the story is Jesus was telling them to do the exact same thing they did in last chapter. He told them to do the same thing they did last night, the same thing they did in the last season. Jesus said, "Let down your nets." He didn't say, "All right, here's a new approach to this. Listen, you've been trying it like this, but tweak this just a little bit." No, he said, "Do the exact same thing you've been doing." And maybe this is how you feel with what the Lord's calling you to do in this season. Maybe he's drawing you to stay at it in your devotion to him. And he's saying, "Read my word." And you're like, "God, I've read your word. I've continued to read your word." And he said, "Read my word. Continue to stay in my word. Continue to do the things you know to do." And in one season, what felt dead and what felt empty and what felt like it was going nowhere, in this season, God's saying, "Give me one more try. Put down your nets. Keep on doing it. But now I'm involved in the story. But now I got something to do." Man, I wish someone would get excited about God getting involved with this next try. That as you put your hand to the plow, as you put down the net to say, "Lord, I trust you with one more try. God, I'm going to give you this because you are the leader. You are the shepherd." And Jesus said, "Put down your nets. The same thing you tried and failed." And the Lord is speaking over your actions today. And I wonder if you have faith to cast out the nets just one more time. I wonder if God's encouraging and inspiring and pushing and bringing you to try one more time, to put it in, relying on his provision. God can speak his fullness to what we call empty. And I love this about God is because sometimes when we do the best that we can and feel like we fall short, God can speak fullness over what we've called empty. And he might be calling you to do something, to stay on with your relationships, with your communities. Get involved. Why don't you keep serving? Why don't you keep giving? Why don't you keep loving? Why don't you stay faithful? Stay trustworthy. Be a man or woman of integrity. He's calling you to do this. And I believe that when God calls us to stay on, and he's involved in our story. We become the best that we can be because his fullness fills what we call empty. And I love he goes into where Peter is now in the middle. I want to stop, pause it right there, because this is where we can give up and call it quits, is when we put down the nets and we're thinking, I just did this. Maybe this is where you find yourself in your story. You already did this, and God's calling you to do the same exact thing. You're like, there's no way this is going to work. And you get that anxiety in your mind to think, I tried this before, and I failed last time. And yet God's calling me to do it again. He's putting me out there to fail again. And now we got a crowd. Now we got a crowd of people all around watching. And here I am in the middle of doing something that I just did and fell on my face. And now God's calling me to do it again. And this is the part where a lot of us will give up. Because we're like, God, I don't want to feel that way again. And this is where we trust that he is a good shepherd. He is a good father who cares about the outcome, who cares about our character, who cares about who we are as his children more than what we feel about the past. God's redemption story is more about who you're becoming than who you are right now. And I mean, I feel like this is for somebody that you're stepping in feeling one way, but God wants to build you to be something else in the next step. But you have to keep on in this step. You have to keep on in letting down those nets. You have to keep on. And then look what happens in the middle of doing the exact same thing that he did the night before and failed at. They pulled in more fish than they've ever caught before. So much that it started breaking the nets. Man, I hope someone gets excited right now thinking about what Lord can do if you give him one more try. Those nets were so much, they had to call reinforcements. How many want that kind of blessing on your home? Come on, how many want that kind of blessing on your marriage, on your children, on your job? Come on the business you're building? I want that kind of favor on my life that God says, do it one more time. And I'm faithful in doing it one more time. And that season becomes so harvest filled, I got to get reinforcements. They'll be like, yo, Joe, yo, stop what you're doing. Get over here. God's pouring out his blessing on this thing. This is what I feel what the Lord is going to do in this season for a lot of our homes, is as we're faithful to him, as we step into hearing his word and acting on his word, in the middle of that obedience, the Lord is going to pour out so much that others are going to start to take notice. In fact, others will have to get involved to be a part of the bountiful outpouring. I feel like the Lord is speaking to someone today to don't give up, because this is your season. Don't give up. This is your chapter. Don't throw in the towel before you're going to bring in way more than you've ever brought in any other season. I feel like the Lord's hand is upon this year, and I can't explain it any other way than this is the year the Lord's opening the top and letting it all out. This is the year the Lord's pouring out so much on his church to bring about glory on the earth. And if we'll be obedient, say, Lord, maybe we don't understand everything. Maybe we don't understand how putting down our nets one more time is going to make any difference. Maybe we don't understand how doing the same thing that we did before and failed at is going to cause new outcomes in this season. But I'm here to tell you today that we serve a God who is a redeemer. We serve a God who, when he gets involved, heaven comes to earth. We serve a God that didn't leave Jesus on the cross or in the grave. We serve a God who resurrects. We serve a resurrecting God. And in that same power, if that same power lives in us, then today, when we step into obedience with Christ, we can step into the same thing that once was dead and now is alive in Christ. We can step into the same power that worked at raising Christ and work it into what we're doing in our everyday. That God can redeem that relationship. God can redeem that business. God can redeem that child. God can redeem those things that we once saw as failure. I'm going to look at one more thing before we close. as the worship team comes and plays and we go into altar. I want to look at Peter's outlook on it, because when it happened, and he brought in way more than he could, it says, when he saw the outpouring, when he saw the blessing, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of what you're pouring out right now." And for some of you, you might feel this way, because in past seasons, it's defined you. Your failures have now marked your identity. And some of us, we carry it around. It's the limp we walk with every day. It's the thing we carry and the thing we look through. And I feel like Peter was carrying a limp from the past season. And when Jesus got involved and poured out so much, he said, "God, go away from us. We're sinful men. I'm not worthy of all this." Yet God was redeeming Peter for such a time as what he was stepping into. Peter didn't know yet, but he was going from Simon, which means pebble, into Peter, that means rock. And God was going to build his church upon Peter's life and calling. If Peter would have given up, I wonder if Peter would have given up the right to step into what he had placed on his life. And I wonder who's sitting in this room today that God is calling into a new relationship with him, where you're trusting him, where he's in the boat, where he's calling you to the deep. He's calling you to do that thing one more time. He's calling you to lower the nets. He's calling you to trust him. He's calling you to give him your life. He's calling you to step in and say, "Lord, have your way. I don't understand everything, but Lord, I trust that you are the shepherd." He's calling those that will seek him first, not the things, but seek him as King and Lord. And I wonder today, if you feel like Peter, you feel unworthy, feel like God could never bless you like that. And look at Jesus' reply. This is so profound for us today. He says this, and Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Don't be afraid. And I want to speak that over everybody in this room, those watching online. I'll speak that over you today, that God's calling you in this season. If you'll trust him, if you'll lean in, there's no reason to be afraid, because God's calling you to uncharted waters, to places you've never been before, to have outpouring you've never experienced before, to have blessing that you're going to share with others, because it's going to be so bountiful, it's too much for you. And in that, God's calling you, don't be afraid, because I'm calling you something that you haven't been in past seasons. I believe that today, God's calling you out of what you thought you were. And God's calling you to be beyond what you deserve, because God's involved in your story. And I believe that today, God's building a faith in us to step out, to trust him, and to lean into what he's doing. That's you today as the worship team plays. I want to call you to trust the Lord with everything. Maybe you're sitting in this room, if you've never completely said, "God, I trust you. Be the King and Lord of my life." Maybe some of you have never committed to him and said, "Would you be King? I give you everything and I give you full ownership." Today, I want to give you that opportunity to do that right now. If you're online or you're in the room, would you raise your hand and say, "Pastor, would you pray with me today, as I accept Jesus as my King, as I make him the Lord and let him get in the boat to direct my path, to be my shepherd, to be the one I can lean into, to be the one I can lean on when I'm not strong enough, when I don't feel at my best. I can lean on him and trust in him." That's you. Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now. Let's pray. Would you pray this with me? Everybody in the room, come on, pray with me. Say, "Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for dying on the cross just for our sins. What you did on the cross redeems my story. I'm saved because of what you did. So come on, say this. Say, Jesus, today I make you Lord of my life. I accept you as Lord and Savior of everything that I am. Thank you for redeeming my story. Now, come on, say this. Say, my home is heaven. He's prepared a place for me because he is my Lord today. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm delivered. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody make some noise for those that gave their heart to Jesus today. Come on, the Bible says there's a party in heaven, and we're invited in that party. Come on, we thank you, Jesus, for what happened today, the commitments, the decisions that were made to step in. I want to encourage you as we worship today, would you stand to your feet? Those in this room, you say, hey, I want to go deeper into what God has for me. And you feel like Jesus calling you into the deep, into saying, hey, Lord, I trust you with one more try. I want to trust you with more. Can you stand to your feet as we sing and we worship? Can you lift your hands and let's surrender to God, surrender to him everything that we are, to say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Whatever you call me to do, I will do it, to let heaven come to earth in my life.